Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope, where we discuss pro wrestling from a higher vantage point. I'm Chad, as always, coming from you for the third time, I do believe now, from the Hero Zeus Thunderdome. I promise to stop counting after this week. But I am joined once again. He's made his triumphant return, and he's got a cool little scooter now. The man, the myth, the legend, Diesel.
It's great to be back. For all the high flyers, it's great to be back. And I do got a new set of wheels, and it's a lot better than crutches, so
yeah,
suck it.
It's pretty awesome to watch him wheel around on it. He's pretty good on it, to be honest.
I've had 9 days to practice, so
yeah, lots of fun.
All for this day, practicing all for this day.
I'm very proud of you, Diesel. So how's your week been besides, you know, having the broken foot?
Oh, it's been pretty crazy. I've had a lot of time to myself, so been watching a lot of old Raw from 98.
Oh, yeah.
About 3 months worth in like the last 3 days. So I'm going a little crazy right now. It's good stuff, though. Good stuff. Undertaker's turning heel and The Rock's mini baby face right now. And Stone Cold's being Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. Yeah, no, I remember that time. You've told me a bunch about what's been going on. Sounds some crazy good stuff. But yeah, no, I've had a solid week. Just a lot of working. Clearly watched Raw, SmackDown. Snuck in some New Japan in there, so it's been a good week, but it's time to move right along to my favorite segment of the week, which of course means it's the Mystery Brainbuster of the Week. And since he was gone last week, and I just don't like to go first, I'm making Diesel take this one first, so hit me with your question, buddy.
Well, I got two questions. I just thought of one on the fly.
Oh, great. Awesome.
So the first one is, how come you didn't ask me what I thought of last week's show?
Oh, because you said you didn't want to talk about it.
I didn't say I didn't want to talk about
it. All right, what'd you think of last week's show, Diesel?
It was atrocious.
Yeah.
Horrendous. Should have been thrown in the bin for our UK listeners. This show is garbage unless I'm on here.
Yeah, it's pretty much true there, Diesel.
But I'm here. I'm here to save the day. I'll never do that to you again, guys. I promise. All you high flyers, I'm back.
Thank you so much for your presence, Diesel. And yeah, it was atrocious, I'm sure. But fine. Now we're moving along. And since you're so high and mighty today, you're going first for the question, as I said. So ask your darn question.
Okay, my question is, which do you prefer? And it's about the Four Horsewomen.
All right.
Okay, and just the WWE Four Horsewomen. So they're split up 50-50 on Raw and SmackDown. And both of them on their respective shows like are best friends. My question to you is, which pair do you prefer? Sasha Banks and Bayley, or Charlotte and Becky Lynch?
Ooh, that is a good question. So I would say, I feel like Sasha Banks is like my favorite of all of them, but Bayley's probably my least favorite of all of them. So that means that 2 and 3 are together and 1 and 4. So that makes it a little more difficult. And I'm not saying I don't like Bayley. I'm just saying she's the one I like the least. I guess I'm going to have to go with the tea drinkers over on SmackDown, and I'm going to take Charlotte and Becky Lynch. I think they're great together, and they both have really cool submission finishers. So I'm going to take the SmackDown team of Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
I'm glad you called them tea drinkers and not something else. I agree. Becky Lynch is my favorite out of the four. And Charlotte's probably my second favorite. So, I mean, it makes sense for me to go there. But, I mean, also, I do like Sasha Banks, and Bayley is probably my least favorite, but I like her a lot, too. And I've been there when Chad's defended Bayley before, so I can tell you that he does like Bayley. So
I do really like Bayley. She's just my least favorite of the four horsewomen. So that's not a big deal. They're just all really good. So someone's got to be the worst out of the four. It just happens to be Bayley.
We've seen them all alive.
We have now seen them all alive, and we got to sing along with Becky Lynch's opening.
It was awesome.
It was great.
We didn't get to sing Bayley's song to her like they did on SmackDown.
No, not that way they do it in the UK.
Yeah, the UK universe, WWE universe is awesome.
Yeah, their crowd chants are insane. But it's time to move along, so we're going to move into our fan questions from the week. And the first one comes to us from @ILikeBrendan. And he asks, with the title changes so far, who do we think will win the Survivor Series, you know, overall? And what match at TakeOver do you think will steal the show? So you want to take this one first as well, Mr. Diesel?
I can do that. I just have a question. Do you think he means the women's and men's matches?
I think he means overall, like which show is going to win. So, you know, the overall amount of matches, like, because it's all champion versus champion.
Oh, okay, okay. I was just looking at it as the Survivor Series matches, but
no, I was looking at it as a
whole.
That
makes sense. I guess I didn't think about how every other match is brand versus brand. Oh, I mean, that one's, it's going to be Raw.
Yeah.
It's going to be Raw. It might come down to the last match will be the deciding match, and I think that the Raw Survivor Series men's team is going to win that match. So I'm going Raw for that. Do you want me to answer the next one, or do you want to answer this one first?
I'll take this part first, and I'm going to take Raw only for the fact that SmackDown invaded, and they've been put over really hard this entire time, and I think, I mean, we haven't seen the go-home shows yet. Oh, excuse me. But I do believe that Raw will also come out victorious in this. And I'm pretty sure I'm sticking with what you said for the men winning the Raw five-man match. So, and then
do you think that John Cena is going to be on SmackDown this week for the go-home show?
I mean, he's kind of got to be.
I hope he is.
I'm sure he will be. He's John Cena. He'll fly in from anywhere. He'll probably be on 2 hours of sleep, and he'll go, da-da-da-da, and he'll run out. John Cena sucks. Chance will rain throughout.
I'm excited for these go-home shows this week, though.
Yeah, it should be good. I did hear a rumor that Raw is going to invade on the final SmackDown before.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. So for the second part of the question, it's not even a real question. It's clearly going to be the War Games match. I'm so excited for the War Games match.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they named the pay-per-view after it.
Yeah, and I mean, if I'm going to take a second-place match, it would probably be the Aleister Black Velveteen Dream match. I think that one's going to be super good. We still have the Fatal 4-Way. I mean, we're going to get into all these matches in depth.
I mean, yeah, there isn't a bad match on this card. Even Lars Sullivan, Cassius Ohno is going to be a good one.
Yeah, no, definitely. But we're going to get into in depth about this next week because it'll be our prediction show. So we'll be doing the predictions for NXT TakeOver War Games and, of course, for Survivor Series for both our Better Lucky Than Good Wrestling Championship and also for Josh and Sue's Prediction League. So it'll be a good show next week. We might have a three-man team going with JR back, but you just never know. So we're going to move right along to the next fan question of the week. And this one is from at RJ Krasinski, or it's Krasin84. If you were a superhero, what would your name and what would your power be? Yeah, we're getting now into just crazy questions. It doesn't have to be all about wrestling, people. We'll still answer the question.
Well, I'm weird. I want to be able to be a mind reader.
Yeah.
I want to use it for evil. I want to know what people are thinking, and I want to be like one step ahead of everybody. I don't know. I just think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
My name, I mean, since I'm Diesel, I'm just going to go with High Octane.
Yeah.
So I'm a mind reader.
You didn't go with Professor Diesel?
Professor High Octane.
All right. Professor High Octane, have your mind reader's degree, so you're a doctor.
Well, no, I'll be Professor Diesel by day, High Octane by night.
Oh, there you go. So you're a supervillain then.
There you go.
All right, so my power, the power I've always wanted is actually teleportation. That would be my power. You can do so many crazy awesome things with that power. And I don't know, I wouldn't have a really cool name. I'd just be the Wanderer.
Wanderer.
Yeah, people just never know. Just be wandering around. I really wouldn't be a superhero either.
Be like Elias Samson, kind
of? A little bit, except without the guitar. I'd just be chilling all the time, just popping in and out. And I wouldn't really be a hero either. I'd just be, you know, wandering.
Playing your clarinet.
Yeah, clearly. I don't play the clarinet. Stop making things up. Come on, Diesel.
Come on.
All right, I'm so... Sorry. No. Oh, no, you're not.
I know.
So that would be our superhero stuff. And once again, really enjoyed that question. That was from at RJRKRuzin84.
I apologize for Chad because he doesn't know what he's doing. So
yeah, it's all right. The next and final fan question, because I'm going to cut you off before you sass me again, is from at Joker331PK. And he's asked us multiple questions, and we like that. So his question this week, though, is how do you feel about the fact that there are four former NXT champs in the Survivor Series traditional match? And I'll answer this first because I can answer it pretty simply, and it's just that I love it. That's it. I love it. It's great. I love how NXT is actually now breeding what the main event card is on the shows.
I agree. What else do you want me to say?
Yeah, no.
It's a good question, but I really like it as well. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I hate all these guys.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm sure some people on the internet would say exactly that. They'd be like, this is crap. Why are they on the main card?
Because Bring back Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, people are just angry on the internet at times. But no.
CM Punk. CM Punk.
Oh, darn CM Punk chance. I hate it so, so very much. But those were our three fan questions of the week. And we thank you for your questions. As always, get your questions in next week to either me or Diesel on Twitter. And Diesel, of course, is at
Diesel_VFTR.
And I, of course, run the show's Twitter at View From Top Rope. And so it's my turn for the question. And my question involves, so we've clearly found out that Kenny Omega is going to be going one-on-one with Chris Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom 12. So we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. But my question is a little different. So when it first happened, there was rumors that the reason they did this is because New Japan was going to ship over one wrestler for him to work at WrestleMania. And I want to disqualify Kenny Omega. And I know you know a fair amount of wrestlers from New Japan. So I would like to know, who do you think would put on the best match at WrestleMania? And who would you have them face in like an interpromotional just dream match?
So only Kenny Omega is disqualified.
Or only Kenny Omega is disqualified because he's already facing Chris Jericho. So it's already kind of happening. So I want a one-time dream match as well.
Okay, well, this one, I'm going with the obvious one then. I'm going to go with Okada versus John Cena.
Yeah?
I mean, that would be a really good match. I'd be really excited to see that match. I mean, you could put Okada against anybody, from against Brock Lesnar. Put him against some more Joe. Anybody you put Okada against, it's going to be the match of the night.
Oh, yeah. I would clearly. Okada is one of the best performers on the entire planet, one of the best pro wrestlers there is. Love me some Okada. Not as much as I love Kenny Omega, but Okada's awesome. The Rainmaker is one of the best finishers. So simple, yet so just devastating. Love Okada. So I was thinking about taking Okada. I also thought of some undercard matches that I would do just for fun because I thought of a few of these. So one match I would do is Samoa Joe versus Ishii, just for a hard-hitting, just blast each other in the face kind of match.
Kind of like his WCPW match with Rampage.
Yep, exactly. I just want a bruising match. It'd be like a mid-card match. Also, we could do Marty Scurll, since if you didn't know, he is now the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. So I would have Marty Scurll go one-on-one with like the Velveteen Dream. Ooh. That would be a really just fun. That would be like at the takeover.
There's a lot of, it's like, he's kind of like Okada. There's a lot of people you could put him against that. Be a great match.
Yeah, no, I just thought I would put one for the NXT show because there's always, you know, a good NXT show before WrestleMania. But the number one match I would definitely do is I would do Tanahashi versus John Cena, because it's the, I know he's the aging ace of New Japan, but John Cena is the aging ace of WWE. And it would be the two men who helped run the company for the past pretty much 20 years. So that would be the match. Okada versus John Cena would be great, but I would prefer John Cena versus Tanahashi.
Can I answer for JR since he's not here?
Of course you can.
He would definitely pick Will Ospreay.
Yep.
Versus Kane.
Probably.
No, I'm kidding. He'd probably pick Kevin Owens, to be honest with you.
Oh, bad. Yeah,
he's probably listening in the shower right now. I'd be like, yep. Yep. Will Ospreay versus Kevin Owens. That'd be sweet.
Yep. They know me pretty well over there. So those were all of our questions. That is the mystery brain buster of the week. And we hope you enjoyed, and make sure to get your questions in for next week.
Ding, ding, ding.
And there's the bell, kids, which means it's time to take your seats, because it's Pro Wrestling History 101 time, and Professor Diesel has graced us with his presence this week, so he's going to run class again.
Yeah, I got to clean up this mess.
Yeah, well, I thought I did a pretty good job, but once again, I'm only the student teacher.
I'm just being hard on you, Chad. Tough love.
Tough love. Hey, that's how you get better.
But, I mean, there was a lot of things that if I were here, would have been corrected.
Yeah.
Like something, I was listening, and I was cringing. And Jared didn't know anybody, anybody's shoot names. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I know that person. I know that person. I know that person. But I mean, you had a lot of fun facts and a lot of tidbits. And I think you did a pretty good job. I just missed myself, I guess.
And I'm sure the High Flyers missed you as well. So what week are we going through this time?
How couldn't they have missed me? I am this whole show, as I said earlier. But This week we're going for 11/10 through 11/16. So November 10th through November 16th. Today is currently November 11th. It is Veterans Day. It is also a special birthday.
Yeah, it is actually my mother's birthday. And it's also JR's mother's birthday. A little weird fun fact for you right there. So a happy birthday to both mine and JR's moms.
So we're going to go back to the past on to November 10th to start out. And we are going to start out in 1998. Nitro in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right.
Eddie Guerrero defeated Rey Mysterio Jr. to win the WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
I actually think I remember this match.
I don't.
This is when I was watching WCW for show.
And, I mean, they've had a bunch of classic matches.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio were two of the best in the ring. And then even when it went to Chavo Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio, those two had great chemistry, too. Like, Rey Mysterio was pretty much an honorary Guerrero, if you want to be honest about it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And we're going to 2008.
2008.
A Raw taping in London, England.
Hey, it's what just happened this week as well.
Exactly. William Regal defeated Santino Marella to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, very nice. Did you say Santino, though?
Santino.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure he wasn't in his female gimmick.
Well, then she would have been the second woman to win the IC title.
Yeah. I just thought you said Santino, but that's awesome that William Regal won on his home turf, if you will.
Yep, and his home field advantage.
He did, and I'm sure the crowd went crazy. And I wonder if he won with the power of the punch. Did you look that up?
I didn't look it up.
Oh, I love that move, the power of the punch. I love William Regal, to be honest. He was one of my favorite wrestlers. I loved watching William Regal in the ring.
I just give you things so then during the week you can think about it, then you can look it up later.
Yeah, exactly, and I probably will.
I mean, once we get Pro Wrestling History 201, maybe it'll be more extensive. But, I mean, that's going to be a pay class, so yeah. I'm not going to do it for free, folks. So, moving to 2009.
2009.
James Gibson, who at the time was WWE's Jamie Noble, announces his retirement from wrestling after a 14-year career.
Wow.
This came a week after Noble severely injured his back in a match with Sheamus. Outside of competing in a few one-off matches, Noble is now a producer and road agent for the WWE.
Yeah, and that was before J&K Security. So
yes.
So, I mean, he did compete in some matches then, but I love me some Jamie Noble. I love when he was the Cruiserweight Champion, actually, and he had Nadia with him.
Yeah, that was a great time.
They were hilarious. They were always trying to get the double-wide trailer. Funny stuff.
But I love J&J Security, too. So.
J&J Security was also really funny.
Okay, we're moving on to November 11th.
November 11th. Also, once again, my mother and JR's mother's birthday.
And Veterans Day.
And Veterans Day.
Thank you to all the veterans.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, so November 11th, 2012, at Turning Point, TNA pay-per-view, Austin Aries faced Jeff Hardy in a ladder match for the TNA Heavyweight Championship, and that is our homework. So Chad's got some notes, and we're going to discuss this match.
I actually did write some notes down this week because it was a really good match. This was Austin Aries, and one of my favorite things that you picked this match is, do you know how he even was the World Heavyweight Champion in the first place?
I do not remember.
It is because he cashed in the X Division Championship to get the title shot. And that's what I always talk about that I wish they would have done with the Cruiserweight title, because it would just be awesome. But he was world champion because of that. But this match was a ladder match.
He wasn't world champion. This was his return match.
Yeah, he had just lost. So this was his rematch, and it was in a ladder match because it was Jeff Hardy's specialty, even though Austin Aries, campaigned against it. Didn't matter. Had to do it.
And it was in the four-sided ring.
Yep, the four-sided, because this is when Hulk Hogan was commissioner, when they were like, we're not TNA anymore. We're kind of just old WCW.
Yep.
So the first thing I want to say about this match is I had forgotten how bad the TNA commentary was. It was so – Taz, I love Taz dearly, and I'm not really ripping on you here, buddy, but he was so – everything he said was so Captain Obvious. He would literally just repeat himself. He was like, oh, he just hit a dropkick. And he would say like 2 seconds after it happened. It was so boring and it was so bad. I could not really, it kept pulling me out of the match, to be honest.
He didn't care.
No, it just seemed like none of them cared. They were just there for the paycheck.
I still enjoy hearing Taz, though. I like hearing Taz.
So then we'll actually get into the match. So Austin Aries actually started this match out quick. He had a plan this whole time, and he just started throwing the ladder into Jeff Hardy constantly and trapping him in the ring and then shoving the ladder into his throat and such. And Austin Aries was just vicious to begin this match.
He was, and those ladders were cheap ladders, too.
They were super cheap ladders. They went through, what, four, five ladders in the match?
Three or four, yeah.
I mean, the reason they kept going through them, though, is because they kept putting them in the middle. Like, they kept going through the middle part. Well, one of the worst things that happened when on commentary, when you just tell that none of them cared, is when Austin Aries, Jeff Hardy, they had the ladder upside down.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, it's a funnel shaped toward the sky. And I'm like,
that
what
was Taz.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, Taz, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean it's a funnel?
It's an upside down funnel. He's like, aren't funnels already upside down? Yeah. Like, corrected it. I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, it was terrible. And it's also not a funnel because it's just a V. A funnel has to be a circle to be a funnel to begin with. But then Jeff Hardy jumped it and Austin Aries missed him. And he went through the ladder and got sandwiched. And Taz goes, what just happened? I don't understand this at all. And it's like he got sandwiched between the two parts of the ladder and he got trapped in that part. And then Austin Aries was just wailing on Jeff Hardy clearly. But Taz just clearly didn't care because he was just making up nonsense.
Yeah, he missed his old SmackDown days when he was sitting next to Michael Cole.
Yeah, when he just could just spout that nonsense and Michael Cole would make all sense of it.
Yeah, and he had someone that actually knew it. We were doing like telling them what to do on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. They clearly did not have anyone in their ear during that. Yeah, no. So there was some, the ladder spots in the match overall were really awesome. They did, as I said, they did a spot where Jeff Hardy was sandwiched between it. They also did a spot where Jeff Hardy was trapped on the outside and then Austin Aries put the stairs on top of
that.
Yeah, that
was crazy.
And then he went to climb and get the ladder. And then Jeff Hardy somehow escaped under the ring. From it, like, because it looked like he was truly trapped. I honestly don't know how he got out of that predicament.
He's Jeff Hardy, he's crazy.
It was really weird, but he then escaped out of under the ring. Then they also had
that's why he's the charismatic enigma.
Yeah, that is a wonderful nickname. I did have some problems though with some of these spots because they were super contrived at points. Like they kept putting the ladders up on the like corners for no reason. They put them up there and not to be used for like another 5 minutes in the match.
I think that was because between the ring and the barricade, there wasn't much room. So they didn't want to throw it out into the crowd. So I think they just put them on the turnbuckles just to get them out of the way.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Because it always set up for a spot a little later.
Well, not all the time.
Yeah, no, it just really, I mean, every single time. One of my favorite spots in the whole match, though, was when Jeff Hardy did that like rocking splash because the ladders were all busted up. And so Jeff Hardy was just sitting on the top of the ladder and then just started rocking and rocking until it just fell. And it looked like the most devastating splash ever.
Yeah. He had some speed.
He got some like serious speed and he like bounced off of Austin Aries without, I don't think he tried to do that. I think just the momentum literally.
I think Austin Aries got hit with the ladder a little bit too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He got whacked really hard. Yeah. I think it landed on his arm. They literally broke every one of the insides. And one of the funniest things I did find was Jeff Hardy's like actual face paint combination. Yeah. Did you notice he kind of looked like the Incredible Hulk?
A little bit.
Yeah, the green face with just the purple. And then he had the eyes painted over his eyes. And all I could think of was Strange Wilderness the whole time.
Justin Long, yeah.
I was like, so how high is Jeff Hardy right now that he's like, that's a good idea. I'm going to point eyes over my eyes.
Do you know what was a bad idea in this match?
What was a really bad idea?
The ladder wasn't positioned right. And I don't remember who was on top of the ladder, but they started hopping the ladder and it was already kind of bent.
It was Jeff Hardy who did
that. I thought the ladder was going to collapse and it was going to be the end of the match. Right?
Yeah, because that was when Austin Aries missile drop kicked it.
Yeah, and that did break.
Yeah, it did. And I mean, honestly, Jeff Hardy was taking falls from the very top of the ladder like and just falling straight down to the mat. Like, oh, there was some just sick, nasty spots.
Why are they still trying to convince us that they're steel ladders and they're clearly made out of wood?
Yeah, no. And they're clearly, but they were pretty sturdy when he had it like laid across the barricade and everything. Yeah. And then also for the final spot of the match, they both climbed up the ladder, they fought, and then they both fell onto a ladder they'd set up earlier on the turner or the corner post. I couldn't believe they landed on it.
Yeah.
It was insane. And then they fought for a second on there, and then Jeff Hardy hit one of the sickest twist of fates I've ever seen in my like entire life. And Austin Aries fell all the way to the outside of the ring, and it was really far. And then we had one of the funniest spots ever.
Jeff Hardy went to get the belts.
Yep, he was going to get the belts. I mean, no one's there to stop him. And then Austin Aries, he goes, or Jeff Hardy's at the top of the ladder, about to reach him. And suddenly the title belts just raise up higher. And Jeff Hardy looks all confused.
And commentary is really bad at this point. Like, did we just see that? Did the belts just raise? What just happened? Like,
yeah, no, it was so bad. Oh, it was terrible. But then suddenly a spotlight hit Austin Aries, who is now up in the crowd a little bit with the controls for the title belts. And he's screaming at Jeff Hardy, "You'll never reach those title belts." And it was actually really funny. I have never actually seen that spot before. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Besides what they did to Stone Cold and they never
explained.
Paid off who it was.
Yeah, but I mean, besides that, but an actual person doing it during a match I've never seen.
Yeah, so then Jeff Hardy went and he couldn't get the title belts. So then he saw that Austin Aries is doing it. So then he went back to say a little brawl outside of the ring, back by the controls and stuff like that.
Yep, and then Jeff Hardy finally hit another twist of hate. Or twist of fate, sorry. And they got a big ladder out that they then once again broke. They broke the inside middle of it. And then Jeff Hardy hit another big move and then finally climbed the ladder, which was breaking the whole time. And I thought he was going to fall while he was trying to reach the title belts up there and pull it down. You could tell he was freaking out about it.
Yeah, it was rocking and stuff. But he stayed up there and got both belts down.
Well, that's because those two refs came in and held the ladder for him. You didn't notice that? Yeah, the two refs came in both sides and they were both holding a part of the ladder when he was finally holding both title belts up. So that's the only reason he did that.
Yeah, they had two belts. We forgot to mention that. One was Jeff Hardy's like own belt, like when Stone Cold had the rattlesnake belt.
It was the purple charismatic Enigma belt, and it's ugly as heck. If you haven't seen it, look it up on Google. And it's gross.
Yeah, they had the other heavyweight title belt up there, which made no sense to me. I don't know why they couldn't just use one.
I really don't know. It's TNA. Some weird, weird stuff back then. But on the whole, I give the match a solid 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed it.
I did too. For TNA, it was pretty good. And this was kind of the time when they're starting their decline. So
yeah, this is when I was fading in and out of TNA. I was still kind of watching at this point. Like, I'd catch it here and there, and I'd pirate it off the internet every once in a while, but...
But yeah, I like this match. I mean, Austin Aries didn't miss a step, and Jeff Hardy seemed like he was sober, and they had to mention that on commentary like a dozen times. So
yeah,
I mean, it was a good match. It was a fun match, and maybe next time I'll try not to pick a ladder match because I seem to always pick ladder matches, but they're the best.
Ladder matches are a lot of fun, so I won't bemoan another ladder match.
Okay, so Chad, you get... 3 gold stars.
Yes. Gold stars it up.
So moving on. November 12th.
November 12th.
2001. A Raw taping in Boston, Massachusetts.
Ooh, Boston.
The Hardy Boys with a Z.
Oh.
Matt and Jeff defeated Booker T and Test to win the WWF Tag Team Championships for the 5th time.
Oh, really now?
And that's a weird tag team with Booker T and Test.
Yeah, they were the WCW tag team, I'm guessing, at this point.
This was probably right before Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Right before the whole invasion angle ended.
Yep.
Okay, so then on the same show.
Oh, really?
Edge defeated Kurt Angle to win the WCW United States Championship.
Wow.
Edge would be the last United States champion under the WCW banner. The title was unified with the Intercontinental Championship at Survivor Series the following Sunday.
Oh, very nice.
I do not know who won that title. I think it was Edge.
Yeah? Well, I guess we'll find out next week on Pro Wrestling.
I don't even know who the Intercontinental Champion was.
Yeah? Well, we'll find out next week on Pro Wrestling History 101, I'm sure.
Will we?
We might.
I mean, it's not like we're the things of continuity or anything like that.
No, nothing like that.
Hey, 2010.
2010.
Dearborn, Michigan. Eddie Edwards outlasts Kenny King, Claudio Castagnoli, Rhett Titus, Adam Cole,
Bay,
and Kevin Steen, who was eliminated in 15 seconds into the final, to win the 2010 Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest tournament and a future ROH World Championship match.
Ooh, that is a heck of a lineup right there.
I wonder how Kevin Steen got eliminated in the first 15 seconds.
It was probably a battle royale, and he probably just got knocked out right away.
I want to have him interested.
Well, you are a Ring of Honor ringside member, so you could look that up.
I am. And that's a free shout-out for them.
Gotta love some Ring of Honor.
November 13th.
November 13th.
At a Nitro taping in London, England.
Once again, London. We are just hitting up the UK this week.
Got a Lance Storm tidbit.
Hey, Lance Storm.
Don't have enough of them.
Yay.
It's not a very big one, but I like Lance Storm. So, Lance Storm defeated General Erection.
Oh.
To win the WCW United States Championship.
Oh, very nice, though.
That's very nice.
That was a really bad time in WCW, though.
Yeah, what was their faction name?
They were something military.
What was Booker T?
I can't even. I've tried to forget this.
Me too. That's why I can't remember.
That's just gross. All right,
if anyone knows, tweet us.
Tweet us about it. You can talk about how bad it was.
It was actually kind of funny, though.
Yeah, it was some weird
stuff. The Booker T stuff was kind of funny, but yeah. it was a bad idea. Stupid Vince Russo.
Crazy man, him.
Okay.
He's the worst.
Now we got some sad news to report. This one, it was unavoidable. It's a death.
Mm.
It was the death of Eddie Guerrero, age 38.
Yeah, I knew
2005.
I knew that had to be coming since last week we did the last match that he had on TV. So I knew it had to be coming up here soon.
Very sad. It's been 12 years, and it's crazy that it's been that long.
It is really crazy how fast time goes. So, still miss Eddie Guerrero completely. He was one of the best of all time.
And I bet you he'd still be going every day.
He would still be going every day. He might have been the one going to face Kenny Omega in New Japan.
He might not have been in the WWE at this point.
Yeah, you never know.
So, anyways, 2006. Two championships change hands on a Monday Night Raw. I don't know where it's at because it doesn't say in my notes.
Oh,
so I'll blame the website that I got that from because they're the one who's supposed to give me that information.
Fair enough.
But it's in 2006. I do know this.
2006, the year I graduated.
I do know that it's on November 13th.
And it's still November 13th.
Okay. The first title that changed hands was Jeff Hardy defeated Johnny Nitro to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, that's probably a really good match. Love me some Johnny Nitro. If you don't know, it's John Morrison.
Yes, it is. Or Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Impact.
Yeah, he's got a lot of names.
Or John Hennigan.
Yeah. Shoot name. Or his real name.
There you go. So then the World Tag Team Championships also changed hands. And it's Rated RKO.
Nice.
Who's in that? Chad?
Rated RKO would be Randy Orton and Edge, which is one of my favorite pairings.
And the name is perfect.
It is really awesome. It was one of my favorite things. And that was back when Randy Orton still did the punt.
So they won. They won the World Tag Team Champions. Do you know who they beat?
Legacy?
No, it is a DX. It's a very, very random, for this time, for 2006, random pairing for Tag Team Champions.
All right, who is it?
Ric Flair.
Oh.
And Roddy Piper.
Oh, that's actually, I should have known that. That was in the history lesson last week. I'm messing up. I could have got a gold star there.
Yeah, well, I won't take any away.
Thanks.
I mean, that fact is awesome.
That is really awesome. And anytime we can talk about Rated RKO, Roddy Piper, and Ric Flair all at once, I'm totally in for that.
Okay, we're going to SmackDown 2007.
SmackDown 2007.
Also, it does not tell me where it's at. They were slacking on November 13th.
No, well, it's an unlucky day, so they're like, I don't want to talk about it.
I guess. You're right. John Morrison.
Once again.
And The Miz.
Yes.
What was their tag team name?
Nothing. They didn't actually really have one.
I thought they did. I know they had a series on WWE.com.
They did. And I've looked it up before because I've thought about this. And everyone thinks that they had a tag team name, but they really didn't. They didn't. They did. The show was something. I'll come to it. Just give me the fact.
Hey, you're being a little snippy there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor. I didn't mean to do that.
Okay, so John Morrison and The Miz defeated Matt Hardy and MVP to win the WWE Tag Team Championships.
Oh, that's nice. That would be during the time that MVP and Matt Hardy were feuding over the U.S. Championship as well.
And they just happened to win the Tag Team titles.
Yep, it was one of those random pairings.
We got a birthday.
Birthday!
This guy is known as once-in-a-century talent. I don't know who that is.
I don't know if you're trying to trick me. Sometimes the things you say.
I'm not trying to trick you. That is actually what he's billed as. Once in a century talent.
I don't know.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Oh, that's right.
41.
Well, darn. He's real good still.
He is real good still.
And he would be my WrestleMania pick for someone to come for an off match in WrestleMania.
That would be a good one. That was a good pick.
Yeah.
Okay. November 14th.
November 14th.
At Raw in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Raw in Minneapolis.
So starting November 14th off nice. Yeah. The place where we're at.
Yeah.
And this was a tribute show to Eddie Guerrero. Who died the day earlier, as I just said, Continuity Kings.
There Kings of Continuity.
And like the Owen Hart tribute show back in 1999, storylines were put on hold in favor of straight wrestling matches. The show was the first half of the Super Show taping that took place just hours after Guerrero had passed. So it had both Raw and SmackDown, like people on that show.
Well,
that's what the Super Show meant, if you remember that.
Oh, I do.
Okay, so then unusual for the time, like I just said, Raw and SmackDown, both on the same show. The show opened with a 10-bell salute, which we almost did before this segment. We discussed it.
We did discuss it, and I shot it down.
We should have. I should have known that Eddie Guerrero and it's Veterans Day. We should have done it. Memories were inserted between matches. So people would have, like, a backroom segment where I talked about Eddie Guerrero. And
I remember this episode. I definitely watched it. I was an avid wrestling watcher at this time.
Me too. This was right before, like, I stopped watching. So, yeah, sad day.
Sad day, but always remember Eddie Guerrero, one of the best of all time.
At least he got that one run as WWE champion.
He did. He beat Brock Lesnar for it, and it was an awesome match.
Okay, moving on to November 15th.
November 15th.
At a Raw, 2004 in Indianapolis, Indiana.
2004. We're just chilling in the Midwest in the UK today.
William Regal. Another William Regal fan.
Hey, love it.
And his tag team partner, Eugene.
Hey.
There's a lot of title changes in this one.
Jeez.
They defeated La Resistance, Rob Conway and Sylvain Grenier.
Yep.
And Rhino and Tajiri in a three-way dance to win the World Tag Team Championship.
Wow. Sylvain Grenier is the youngest champion of all time in WWE.
Nice fun fact. It's a gold star for you, Chad.
Yeah. He was even younger than everyone else.
I liked the William Regal-Eugene pairing. I always thought it was hilarious.
It was some good stuff. I mean, if you look back at it now, it was quite offensive, but it was still fun. It was fun at the time. I didn't really, you know, care.
It worked for me. I liked Eugene.
Eugene was a really good wrestler, but it just kind of sucked. I mean, he could never do a different gimmick after that. That's kind of like burning your entire career right there.
Hey, man, he probably wouldn't have made it onto the main roster. Like, he had a championship match.
He had multiple championship matches.
I mean, like, a WWE championship match.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, I mean, like, yeah, he won the tag team titles. You think, as himself, he would have been able to?
I don't know. He was a really good wrestler. He always stole people's finishers. I always enjoyed that about Eugene.
Yeah, that was hilarious. He was good, though. I liked that he was also Eric Bischoff's nephew.
Yeah.
That was good for the storyline purpose. And
yeah. No, that was pretty good.
It made sense why he was on Raw, because his sister made him. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving to 2006.
2006.
WWE presented its first ever old school Raw special from the Giant Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, very nice.
WWE Legends appeared, and the set was modified to look like a 1993 episode of Raw, complete with the old Raw letters replacing the Minitron.
Really?
Yes, I remember this.
I remember
the
this.
The one, like, the image that I have in my head is Jake the Snake Roberts. He came out and had the sack with the snake, and
that's,
I just remember him walking out, and that night, I believe it was that night, maybe it was a later one.
Hmm.
I think they did it again for like Raw 1000 or something like
I'm sure they've done it again.
So anyways, got a birthday.
Birthday.
It's a would have been birthday, but I had to put him in.
You got to.
Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage. Love it.
Ooh, yeah.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
He would have been 65.
Oh, I love me some Macho Man. The original king of that elbow drop. He was my favorite elbow drop growing up.
And we're moving on to the final day.
Final day.
In 1988, November 16th.
All right.
WWF holds a Legends Battle Royal at the Meadowlands Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied right there. This is unusual for the WWF at the time, as the WWF rarely acknowledged Say it for me because I'm not going to be able to get it.
Accomplishments?
Easy, you can't even say it.
Accomplishments?
There you go. Accomplishments.
There you go.
It's just a lot of words right now. They would rarely acknowledge accomplishments. See, it's all those big words right there. That took place outside their company.
Was they the problem?
Acknowledge and accomplish. See what I mean? It's whatever. We're not going to go back to that. We're going to move on to the next thing right here. Right?
All right. Let's hit up the next fact, Professor.
The Battle Royal is won by 72-year-old Luthez.
Hey, that's pretty awesome.
And at the time, he was the oldest person to win a match in the WWF / E.
And is Mae Young the actual oldest person to ever win a match in the WWE?
Maybe. We'll get to that later.
Oh.
Okay. Other participants were Nick Bockwinkel, Art Thomas,
okay,
Bobo Brazil,
wow,
Chief J Strongbow, Gino Brito,
wow,
Arnold Scaland, Eduardo Carpenter, Baron Sixcaluna, Al Costello, Pat O'Connor, The Crusher. I did The Crusher with my hand if you guys can't see. Pedro Morales.
Wow. Some Pedro Morales in this match? There's a lot of people.
John Nudie Kings. I talked about him last week.
I did.
Dominic DiNucci. Killer Kowalski. We also talked about it. I wasn't here, but they did. They talked about Killer Kowalski.
We did.
Tony Garea. Gene Kinski. Not to get confused with Gene Snitsky. Totally different people.
Totally different.
And Rene Goulet.
Hey.
And fun fact that Chad already spoiled. This Mae Young is the oldest person to ever win a match in the WWE.
What can I say? I know some stuff.
Do you want a gold star?
I'm not going to just ask for it if you'd like to give me one.
Well, you got to answer my question. How old was she when she won this match?
She would have been 80 years old.
That is wrong.
But
I'll give you another chance.
Okay.
She was 87.
Oh.
What year was it?
This would have been 2008.
You're wrong again.
I'll
give you another chance.
All right.
And this one you're definitely not going to get, but
you're going
to get sports, so we'll see what happens here. She was, it was in 2010 when she won this match. Who did she beat?
She beat 2010. I know she gets RKO'd right after it.
It's not in my notes.
I know that's what happens because this is during the Legend Killer gimmick. Does she beat Molly Holly?
Wrong again.
Yeah, I know.
But since you're being a good sport, I'll give you a gold star.
Oh, thank you.
It was a handicap match.
Oh.
And she beat Lay Cool.
Oh, really? Oh, that I would never have gotten that, so I'm okay.
Okay, so that is our final fact.
Hey, ding, ding, ding. That's the sound of the bell, kids, which means class is over.
And that is correct. But I found another one.
You have another fact?
I found another one. It was just right here. I thought I read it, but I did not.
All right, one
so,
more.
So I'm holding you guys late. Detention.
Oh, detention. But all right, Professor. I won't argue.
Extra credit.
All right, extra credit.
So
I like.
If you sit through it, you might get a gold star or two.
All right, I'm in.
We're still in the year 1988. WWF held their Hall of Fame induction ceremony from the Marriott Marquis Hotel in New York City. Oh, sorry. This is 1996. I guess the 1988 from the last one. My apologies. Free extra credit gold stars for everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
1996 is when this is happening.
Yes. And so they had their Hall of Fame ceremony in 1996. The class included Captain Lou Albano, Killer Kowalski, there he is again. Baron Mikel Sixcaluna, there he is again. All these guys, I wonder why they had that match.
No wonder.
Johnny Valiant, Jimmy Valiant, Johnny Rods with a Z. I always like saying with a Z.
I know you do.
It's my favorite.
I know.
Pat Patterson.
Oh, wow.
Vincent J. McMahon. Of course, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Clearly.
But they never say that, but. Now you know.
Now you
know.
I bet you
people didn't know that, but now you know. If you listen to us, you know that Vince McMahon is in the Hall of Fame.
Yep, the original.
This isn't the original. This is one of them.
I know.
And Jimmy Snuka was the last one inducted.
Wow.
And they won't tell you that right now either, because what happened before he died, or I mean long before he died, but the stuff that's come out, it's not for us to talk about. Shouldn't have brought it up. Anyways, this would be the last Hall of Fame ceremony for the company until just before WrestleMania 20 in 2004.
Wow, and I think that's a wonderful fact for us to close out class on.
So Professor. Vince McMahon had to get himself in there because he thought it was going to be the last one.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, I need to be talked about forever.
So how much you want to bet after he dies, if they induct him again?
Oh, yeah, he'll be a double inductee.
And they won't even mention that he's already in there.
Nope. All right, so kids, that was your extra credit for the day. So it's time, I guess, to go grab your cookies, get some milk.
Apologize to your parents for being late. Don't blame it on me.
And that was class for the day. So now we're just going to move on to chatting about what's going on in current pro wrestling.
What's going on?
What is going on? And our first subject of the week is going to be that with the announcement that Chris Jericho will be facing Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12. And I couldn't be more excited for this match. And I watched this pay-per-view. Kenny Omega had faced Trent Beretta in a pretty solid match. Trent Beretta is just moving up to the heavyweight division. He's a really good worker. I wouldn't say really good, actually. I over-exaggerate a little bit. He's a good worker, and a good worker with Kenny Omega makes a great match. So, good match, great match. Enjoyed it a lot. Afterwards, Kenny Omega was cutting a promo, how awesome he is as United States champion. And then the Titantron lit up. And it was a countdown. It wasn't a normal Y2J countdown, though. It was kind of weird with weird scenes behind it. But it counted down from five. And then Mr. Chris Jericho himself came on wearing his headband and everything with his hair pulled back. And he challenged Kenny Omega to a match at the Tokyo Dome, saying that he's the best in the world. He is the alpha. And a lot of people have claimed it. CM Punk. I can't think of everyone else he said. But it was amazing. I am so excited for Chris Jericho, the Alpha, versus Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
No, that's pretty funny, though.
Yeah?
But you can't remember. Like, you came into it so confident.
I did. And then I just lost it. I had a massive brain fart.
And I had him all in my head until you said, I can't remember. And I can't remember either. I was like, I can think of a CM Punk as well.
I love me some CM Punk, and he is the one who I think when he said he was the best in the world, I felt it the most truly. Oh, Shawn Michaels was one of them.
Oh, there you go.
Bret Hart?
Maybe.
I don't know. What do you think about this match,
Tiesel? What do I think about this match? I am extremely, extremely don't care about it. No, I'm just kidding. I really do care about it. I'm very excited.
Oh, man, Diesel.
Very, very excited. I want to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I don't know how yet, but...
Did you see that Chris Jericho tweeted out that he's like, there's going to be more ways to watch it than just on the New Japan streaming app, New Japan World. If you haven't signed up for that, please do sign up for that because it is the best 9.99 yen that you will spend every month, which comes out to really like 8.90 something, and then you usually get the international tax. But it's really not much, and it's worth every single penny. You can watch anything from New Japan's history. And that's another free plug. We've already plugged the Ring of Honor Ringside membership and now the New Japan World membership. Both worth all your money. Subscribe today.
Well, I am glad that there's more places you can go to watch this match. So it's not like when you watch it for free on YouTube, it's not feeling like you're doing something naughty. But I am very excited for this match. I think it's going to be a very, very good match. It's definitely a match of the ages.
It's going to be a double main event at Wrestle Kingdom 12, they said, and Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho will be the second to last match, and then the final match will be, of course, Okada versus Naito, the G1 winner for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
I want to see that match as well.
Oh, I'm so jacked for Wrestle Kingdom. Power Surge was great. I might do a Power Surge review. Just depends if I have time this week. We'll see how the cards play out. Do one of those, one of my favorite little independent podcasts.
So I'm really excited about this match. But I'm kind of, the whole WWE aspect kind of is confusing. I'm hearing a lot of different reports about
if they knew about it or if they didn't know about it.
Exactly. And it doesn't seem like they're mad because they just wished Chris Jericho
Vince McMahon,
the other day ago.
Yeah, Vince McMahon himself on Twitter did.
So, I mean, I wonder if it's just kind of they're playing nice for once and they know that it's going to be help them entice Kenny Omega to come to the WWE maybe. I don't know because you wouldn't think that Chris Jericho would have done this on his own and then be happy about it. You know what I mean?
I mean, Chris Jericho is pretty much the most loyal WWE employee they have. He's been with the company now for 15 years straight.
1999.
Yeah. Oh, so longer than that, yeah. Even. I undersold it. 17 years or 18 years straight. Jeez, I can't do math right now. So he's been the most loyal employee since he's joined the company. And it's insane. Like, he goes away for a little while, but he would always come back and he puts over people. And so, yeah, for him to have done this without anyone knowing, it's just almost impossible to believe.
And it's also very interesting, the reports saying that he did it because of his cruise, and he asked NXT to be on his cruise first. And he said that on podcasts. I've heard him say it in interviews before and stuff like that. But then after a long, drawn-out process, Triple H just flat-out said no. And so then kind of left him well, what am I going to do now? You know, so he had to go somewhere else. And of course, Ring of Honor was smart enough to say yes.
Yeah, Ring of Honor's like, well, sign us up.
But that's an interesting side of it too. So, I mean, is it a dig at WWE? Do they know? I don't even know what's going on. I'm interested to find out in the coming weeks and months, what really is happening backstage, and is Chris Jericho not part of the WWE anymore? Are they pissed at him and he's going to be another Ultimate Warrior and they don't talk to him forever? And I really hope not.
I really couldn't believe that. As I said, the most loyal WWE guy that's in the company, he has always just come back and done whatever they've needed for him. And so I just can't believe that. And I mean, I just think it's all a work. It's all, everything's a work now. Everything, they use social media. They use the internet now because that's the only way you can have kayfabe. Is to do that, is to make it real. It's the same thing. We'll talk about it when we talk about SmackDown a little bit. But the Sammy and Owens, we'll just call them Sammy Owens. That's their tag team name now. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens tag team getting sent home from the European tour. So it's all a work. Everything's a work now. Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega were arguing on Twitter. It was a work. It's all a work. Set up for things. And WWE had to have known about it.
So I've also heard reports that Chris Jericho is going to be at the 25th anniversary of Raw, which is 1 week before the Royal Rumble, which is their go-home show for the Royal Rumble. So if he's there, I mean, Kenny Omega's contract's up right around there, and Kenny Omega does appear at the Royal Rumble, is this going to set up a rematch at WrestleMania? Is this what the whole point of the whole thing is?
I mean, as I said during my mystery brainbuster of the week, the first rumor I saw was the reason this was happening was so that one person would come over for WrestleMania to do a one-off match at WrestleMania. And I said Kenny Omega was eliminated, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a rematch at WrestleMania. That's a very strong booking option. You can have, Chris Jericho win, or Kenny Omega win in New Japan, or Chris, actually it'd be better if Chris Jericho won in New Japan and then Kenny Omega won in WWE.
Yeah, but that wouldn't work because if he's still part of New Japan and he came over and Chris Jericho was up 1-0, he's definitely going to get buried.
Well, yeah.
On WWE soil, it'd have to be the other way around.
Yeah. Well, no, I said Chris Jericho wins in
New Japan, yeah.
Yeah.
But WWE would be booking the match for the rematch.
Yeah, and Kenny Omega would have joined WWE by then. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying if he was still part of New Japan.
Yeah, no, he's not part of New Japan right there. He's now part of WWE. Now it's one-on-one, and now the feud continues.
All right, but what I was getting from it was, your question was someone from New Japan, so you're confusing me here. So I was still figuring that he'd be still a part of New Japan and be their favor for WWE letting them use Jericho.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. So I know I would still have Tanahashi. I'm just saying in that situation, Kenny Omega would be joining WWE.
Okay.
So that's really what we both think about that match. Both super jacked about it. And really, anything else you want to say about that one, Diesel?
Not much. I'm really excited for it. That's about it.
Super excited. And also, I am trying to figure out if there's any human way that I can find a way onto that cruise of Jericho. Because it's the coolest thing ever, but it is pretty freaking expensive.
Yeah, I want to go really bad too, so maybe.
I'll figure it out. It's still a year away, so we got some time. But We're going to figure it out. But that's our thoughts on the Kenny Omega versus Jericho feud, Alpha versus Omega. So those were our thoughts on Jericho versus Kenny Omega. And I'm going to be honest with you. We just did a wonderful little half-hour segment on both Raw and SmackDown, but the computer somehow freaked out. So those were lost to the internet, and I'm very upset about this. We're very sorry. So we're actually going to have to end the show a little early this week because at this point we're now under a time crunch because I have to go to work.
Yes, to bring home the bacon.
If you will, bring home the bacon. I will just say real quick that the UK shows in Raw and SmackDown were both awesome. Loved everything about both of them.
AJ
winning the title.
Congratulations.
And The Bar winning the tag team titles again. Awesome. Like, it was great shows. Loved everything about it. So the UK shows were absolutely phenomenal.
If you want to talk with us about them, we're on Twitter, and we're willing to give you all of our thoughts.
I'm really upset you don't get to hear all of them. They were really good thoughts. But you know what?
It's really not fair to you guys if we redo it because then it's half-hearted and goof-hearted.
Technical difficulties happen. Sorry, everyone. We'll do better next week. But Diesel, so it's time to give me your final thoughts for the week.
Well, my final thoughts are probably going to be having a lot more time to myself this next week. So maybe I'll be into 1999 and WWE or WWF the next time we talk. So we'll see.
You just don't know. Diesel's going hard. He's down the rabbit hole deeply into the WWE back archives.
That's great.
It's pretty awesome. So my final thoughts for the evening is we do have my eFed XWA Legends. The card has been posted. So make sure you check that out at xwabattlezone.com.
And give them a follow on Twitter as well.
Give them a follow on Twitter. They're good people. Awesome stuff. If you want to write some matches, think you know better than everyone else. Also, as always, want to thank all of our Twitter followers out there for chatting with us. But at this time, it's time for Diesel to give us our social media handles.
We're going with Twitter, and you can get a hold of Chad at ViewFromTopRope. Get a hold of me at Diesel_VFTR. We are on Facebook and Tumblr at ViewFromTheTopRope. We got a Gmail, which is aviewfromtoprope@gmail.com. And then you can hear us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and one other place I'm not remembering their name.
Podknife.
Thank you, Chad. See, I mean, other than the Podknife, because it's still kind of new, I still got everything down after a couple weeks.
You did quite well on it. It is a lot of social media handles. But since this is the end of the episode, for Diesel, from here in the Hero Zeus Thunderdome, we thank you for joining us. And we hope you enjoyed our view from the top rope.